Now, we went through all that last week, and if you need a reminder of that, then we have the message online. You can listen to that at your leisure. But we need to jump right into this last part. We're going to see in all of this, as we put on the armor, when we have the armor on, then the next thing that envelops all this is prayer. And we must pray always. Three different words for prayer, or three different mentions of prayer that Paul has here. And that prayer will also help us to more boldly proclaim the gospel in God's word. And then he finishes up here with a couple more thoughts that we'll get into. Let's look at this passage again, verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. But that ye also may know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs, and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. And Lord, Father, we come before you now saying an amen to these truths, that even as we've heard them read, that they might entrench themselves into our heart, and that we might again, Father, be reminded of the necessity, the need, the vital preparedness that we must have in prayer. This is something that we know as believers is so important, and yet we get into our daily routine and practically outworking this, and we fail so many times in our prayer lives. Lord, I pray that what Paul reminds us now, that the prayer is the batteries. It is what makes all of the army, our armor function, is the prayer and the power of the Spirit. And help us to go out from here ready to be empowered through prayer and not to try to do it alone, but rely on the Spirit's power as we depend on you in this talking, this relationship with you. All this we ask in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Pray and proclaim. Very simple concepts here. And Paul is going to remind us in the end here that we must be praying always, or that has the idea at all times. Sometimes we can see that and say, praying always. Well, how do I do that and get anything else done? How do I pray always? I mean, if I did that, followed that in the extreme, Pastor Brock, I wouldn't do anything else but pray. Is that what Paul's talking about here? Well, I think we understand that's not what he means. But what he means is having an attitude of prayer at all times, praying at all times, being ready for prayer. And we're going to see here in just a minute, being alert for prayer needs, the needs in your own heart and the needs of that are around you with others as well. Being ready to pray at all times throughout the day. And so the first thing we're going to see here is pray at all times, but also, and also proclaim the whole gospel. And we need to pray with perseverance. And here Paul states what is at the heart of spiritual warfare. And he points out prayer is crucial. And we must understand it. It must be almost like breathing to us. Or like drinking water. Now, some of us don't drink as much water as we need to. I'm guilty of that. I've been told for years about the benefits of water and needing to drink more water, and I am trying to do better at that. But there's other things that I enjoy, and you know what those are, and I won't go into those now because I don't want to be a distraction. But water is important. It's a necessity to our bodies. In fact, I'm going to take a little bit here. Because it's also a necessity for your as well. And water is a good analogy, I think, of prayer in some ways, because we all know it's beneficial. We all know we need it, but we don't avail ourselves of it like we need to and like we should. But prayer should be that crucial. And not only crucial, but a continual activity. And he's not describing, as he says, pray always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Three times in a verse that this is mentioned. I think Paul's trying to get our attention about prayer, isn't he? This is not an add-on to the rest of the armor. This isn't, okay, you've got the sword of the Spirit, and now your last piece of armor is prayer. No, in actuality, he's saying this prayer is vital to making all of the armor function properly. If you are prepared with all of your armor and yet you're not in prayer, you're not prepared. You're not ready. Prayer is so important. We can only stand strong by praying intensely. And that's why Paul mentions it three different times. And it really, that intensity has to be in the Spirit. Because what is the purpose of prayer? It's not to for the pastor to get up and impress people with his words of eloquence in corporate prayer and all these things, or to impress those around you in a prayer group or that kind of thing, or try to sound spiritual. But prayer, in essence, is our dependence on God. Because we are literally, when we pray every day and take time to pray, we are saying, Lord, there's a lot of things in my life and my day that are important. But the most important thing I recognize is my time with you. And I have faith in that because, Lord, I can't see you. These other responsibilities, these other things that I have to get done, I can see them. I can measure them. But, Lord, I can't see you, and yet I'm going to trust. Your word says I need to talk to you, and I depend upon you, and I'm going to. It really, prayer is an act of faith. It is every time we're involved in it. Do I really believe that God hears my prayer? Do I really believe that I need to be obedient in this? And folks, I hope your answer is yes. And Paul expects that. It also shows our dependence upon Jesus Christ, upon our Heavenly Father. But it also is a request for the Holy Spirit for enablement in His power. And that's why it says, be praying in the Spirit. We can't function daily being the right examples of Jesus Christ and being ready for spiritual warfare if we're not functioning in the power of the Spirit. So often we start our day and we're functioning in our own power, and we have to stop ourselves and say, I need some other power besides my own, or I'm not going to make it today. Sometimes we forget and we go through the whole day or numerous days or maybe weeks without realizing that. That's not good. But if you're a mature believer, you realize early on in the day, I need the Spirit's power. I need His enablement to do all the things that I'm responsible to do as a believer. So pray at all times throughout the day. You know, praying on your way to work, very practical here. Now, please don't close your eyes while you're driving. And hopefully you could drive distracted, but also talk to the Lord. And if your windows roll down and people hear you, well, that's okay. It's a good testimony. But praying on your way to work, or thinking of times where you're doing things, but you can also talk to God, is a great way to function and to obey this command that Paul says, be always ready to pray. Always ready, and certainly as things come up in your life where you have troubles and you have difficulties, our first go-to ought to be, oh, I need to take this before the Lord. I need wisdom from Him. So I'm surely going to immediately go before Him and pray. Three words, like I said before, and stress the importance of this prayer. Two of them, praying, prayer, are general words for praying. That word supplications just basically means requests. And that refers specifically to petitions made to the Lord. He wants to hear our requests. He wants us to request things of Him. Now, Paul is going to remind us that there's a whole lot more that we need to pray for than just our own needs or even the needs of others. When we study the prayers of Paul, and we will do this at some point on Wednesday night as well, we will be quickly convicted of all the things that we should be praying for, that don't somehow make it into our prayers most of the time. And that will be the same today as well. But God does want to hear our requests for his help. In all of this, Paul is saying, pray, 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 make sure it's important to you. And remember, Paul's already mentioned his own prayers twice. Do you remember what those were? Just briefly here, turn to Ephesians 1. We need to remember these prayers and be convicted by what Paul talks about when he says prayer, because these would be included in our prayers. Ephesians 1 verse 15, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And he continues on here, and he basically is praying that we as believers will have a greater knowledge of who God is and what he's doing, and a knowledge of the power that's available to us through our Heavenly Father and through his work. We need to pray for that for people in our church, very practically. But we don't many times. Lord, help so-and-so. Help our church family to grow in the knowledge of God and his power and his character so that they can be ready and confident and dependent upon him throughout the week. That's a good prayer. Paul prayed that. The next prayer is mentioned in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, and continues, which passeth knowledge. And he's praying here for a more close experience in our relationship with Christ and a better understanding of what God is doing and the mighty work that he's performing, so that we'll be encouraged and that we'll know Jesus' love in a closer, more personal way, that it will motivate us to want to serve him further. We've been through these before. I'm just kind of doing a high fly summary of all these things. But when Paul gets back to this command for prayer, he is pointing out all of these things that we need to keep in prayer. And so again, to summarize this first part of this verse, we must be ready at all times to pray. But then the second part of this, in the Spirit, of course, and he says, and watching or keeping alert thereunto with all perseverance and making supplication for all saints. That word there, perseverance, is something that is also important in prayer and being alert. Being alert means always ready to pray and being aware of people's situations around you so that you know, be reminded to effectively pray for them. Always ready. No matter what's going on in your day, seeing situations, being aware of what's going on in your own heart. Lord, I'm being tempted to get really angry here, Lord, and I need your help and your power. And I remember the study in Ephesians that we have access to all the power that we need in the Holy Spirit to stay calm and be patient. So, Lord, I need that. Lord, I just was alerted that so-and-so is having this difficulty, and Lord, I pray for them. I don't even know all the situation and circumstances regarding it, but Lord, I pray for that individual that you will help them. One of the things that I try to do as a pastor, that was a suggestion that was given to me, when somebody asks me to pray for them, I immediately do it before I go on my way and then forget about it. Because if you're like me, I have one of those minds where it's hard to keep a lot of things in there at once. And so I figure if the Lord is making it apparent to me right then that there's a need, I need to pray for it right then. I'm alert to that prayer, and I'm ready to pray at all times. So keeping alert, being aware, looking for chances for prayer, and then persevering as well. This is consistent faithfulness in prayer until Jesus returns. And praying, requesting things for all saints. And folks, we know this. This isn't something new, but it's something that we continually need to be reminded of because it's a weakness that we all share. We get so focused on our own needs. And God wants us, our Heavenly Father wants to hear our needs, but we have to be others focused as well. And we need to be constantly examining ourselves. Lord, have I been too self-focused today or this week that I haven't even noticed? I've not been alert to other people's needs around me. And I need to be praying for other people too. As the pastor, it's a little bit easier because I'm made aware of people's needs on a regular basis. Someone like Julie, it's easy for her to remember because she heads up the prayer chain and all the prayer requests come through her. So she gets first crack at being able to pray for them before you all get a chance to, all right? And I know she does. I'm sure she has Floyd praying with her as well. But this need to be thinking of prayer for others, Paul expects it. It should be a constant thing with us that we persevere in until Jesus returns. Why? Because all this together, it's a reminder, our spiritual power comes from prayer. Any power that we have to do right, to reflect Christ, to defend in spiritual warfare, to stand stern, to boldly proclaim the gospel, as Paul's going to talk about in a minute. All of our power does not come from within us, but within us as the Holy Spirit guides us and the power of the Holy Spirit, because he's within us, right? So I need to be accurate on that. It comes from the Spirit. One commentator said this when he talks about the Spirit enabling us to pray. I thought this was good. The Spirit stands by the side of believers to prompt them to pray, to direct them who to pray for and how to pray, as well as to energize them in praying for themselves and others. And we need all three of those. We need the reminder to pray, and the Holy Spirit does that. We need direction on who to pray for. Holy Spirit, what do you want me to pray for now, and who should I pray for? And then also give us the energy and the desire for prayer. Let's face it, folks, we need all three of those things. And the Holy Spirit gives us all of those, and our needs are to pray in the Spirit. So, very practical application here. How are we on being alert for prayer needs? And that's an individual. I'm not going to ask for a raise of hands. But how much have we been alert even this past week for folks that are need prayer? And not just, of course, that would include the brethren and sisters in our church, but also around you in the community. Have you been alert for things that need prayer? How about this? Have we become lazy in our prayer lives? That word perseverance fights against the laziness that we tend to have sometimes, and, oh, I'll just put it off and I'll pray later, and we tend to get lazy in our prayer lives. Persevere says, no, shore things up. Be in the power of the Spirit, and don't be lazy in your prayer life. And then one other thing that you may not catch in this, but I think is very apparent here, and I think it is part of the command, and that is for people to pray corporately. I believe that's commanded in this passage as well. As a body, we need to be praying together. What is Paul's emphasis throughout this whole book? Again, not just the individual, but everybody. And so very practically speaking, Village Chapel Baptist Church, I believe Paul's saying here, are you praying together? Not just for each other, but with each other. And some specific things. Pray for each other that we will be able to stand strong against satanic attacks. That's certainly an immediate application of what he's just talked about. Got our armor on, Lord, but help me, help our church folks to be strong, to have the power to resist Satan. And that number two, that God will strengthen us to fulfill the Great Commission and fill the world with the gospel, as Paul talked about in, I believe it was chapter 2. That our responsibility as we go forth in our community, in our local world here, to fill it with the gospel. Are we praying for each other to do that? Folks, all of us in here need those prayers. All of us in here need the Spirit's power to confront Satan's assaults and stand firm. We all need Satan's power to be motivated to give the gospel because of our reluctance many times to talk to people about it. And we need to be praying for others as well. And so one final application that I just mentioned earlier is this emphasizes our need to pray together. Now, I've mentioned this many times before, and I'll say this again. We have times here that we have constructed at our church to obey Paul's command here. And there's a 5:30 service, not service, but a time of prayer before the church service, evening church service, on tonight even, and Wednesday nights at 6:30. And folks, just a little reminder here, these things weren't come up with. We were doing these things. Village Chapel was doing these things long before I came here. But somebody just didn't decide, you know what, I think people are being too lazy at home, and they just don't have enough to do. So we need to come up with some prayer times to get people to do what they need to do and come to church, because otherwise we're just going to loaf around. No, that was never the purpose in this. We know that all of us are busy. And it's because of that busyness and all the things that we're doing that those were constructed. And in any church, hopefully, there are measures put into place to help us to obey this command of praying together corporately. And it's important. Paul's commanded it here. And there's also then the aspect, and I understand this too, that we're not always able to meet those prayer times. There are things that come up. Some of you work Wednesday nights, and I understand that. And I'm not going to judge you because of that. You just have to work within those parameters. But then I would put this out to us as a body. Okay, we really want you to try to join us for these times because Paul commands for us to pray together. And by the way, this is more than just me praying in the middle of the service while you all are listening. This is all of us praying together. So if there are legitimate reasons why you can't make these times that we have, what are you going to do then to obey this commandment? I'll put that out to you. And that's for you to wrestle with. How are you going to obey this commandment that Paul has said for that corporate need for prayer? It may be creative, it may be different, but folks, all of us here need to be in obedience to this. And we need to take this, we need to be sober and serious about this because it is important. Pray with perseverance, but also then the next step of this is pray for the bold proclamation of the gospel. Verse 19, and for me, that utterance or words may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Paul has been praying the whole time for others. He finally makes a request for prayer for himself. But again, it's that convicting prayer out of all the needs that Paul had being chained to a Roman soldier while he's writing this or being under house arrest. I'm sure he had a lot of things that he was going through and a lot of distresses and a lot of needs. And what is the thing, the main thing that he asked for prayer is for boldness and help to present the truths of the gospel. Do you realize that Paul continued to pray for clarity and wisdom in how to give the gospel? Folks, be encouraged by this. If you've ever struggled and felt inadequate in your presentation of the gospel, I think Paul did too. Paul? How can that be? Why else would he ask for folks to pray that he would, with clarity and boldly as well, make known the mystery of the gospel? Because he knows that the gospel is a mystery to unbelievers. And if you've ever had opportunity to pray or to talk with someone about the gospel and you see a smirk on their face, or you just realize they're clouding over and they're just not getting it at all. Folks, it's a mystery to them. It doesn't make sense. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians that it's foolishness. What? A savior that died on the cross and all of this, and he had to die? No, by my own efforts, I should be able to make myself worthy enough before God. And why would a loving God send people to hell? And all these kinds of questions that you get when you present the gospel, it's a mystery to them. And Paul says, the Spirit needs to work in me for me to be bold and me to be clear about the gospel. And he needs to work in their hearts as well, to plow that ground of a hardened heart. That's something that we can't do. You may be the best. You may be very gifted in evangelism. You may have a very good sounding presentation that's inspiring or whatever, but you or the rest of us aren't going to be effective if the Spirit is not in our gospel presentation. And Paul is praying for power. If Paul needed to pray for power to give the gospel, we do too. And we should be praying for others. That's why in the evening when we give testimonies of those that have had opportunities to give the gospel, we should be remembering them and praying for them throughout the week. Lord, give them boldness. Help them to be clear. Let the Spirit work in those circumstances. For which, he says then, I am an ambassador in bonds. What's an ambassador? Well, in the New Testament world, we'll just focus on what this meant to Paul. There was a Roman legate, I think is how you pronounce it, who would be sent by the emperor to govern a particular region on the emperor's behalf. He was the representative of that authority. He represented, the emperor would send him out, Caesar, and that ambassador, the man, would represent the full authority of the ruler of the world at that time. It was a very important thing. And if you were an ambassador, you were very careful to keep your reputation really sterling, above reproach, so that people would see that authority. Now, isn't it interesting that Paul says he's an ambassador, and what is his testimony? He's imprisoned. He's a prisoner. He's been convicted for, of course, we know, presenting the gospel and sharing the gospel with the world. But that's not normally an ambassador that's imprisoned in jail for a crime. Well, I guess he did commit because they figured a crime was giving the gospel, is not a stellar representation of what an ambassador is. Isn't it interesting how God is humbling Paul in this way? But yet he still represents the authority of his heavenly Father and of his Savior, Jesus Christ. And from what we know of history, most likely after this letter would be distributed by a man named Tychicus, and this man also would bring the letter of Colossians to the Colossae church. We'll mention that in a minute. Paul will have audience pretty soon, maybe with the most powerful emperor in the world, Caesar. And he will have most likely opportunity to give the gospel to the ruler of the known world. An ambassador humbled in chains. And God is going to give him this incredible opportunity to show his authority through Paul in the gospel to the leader of the known world. No wonder Paul's praying for help and for enablement. He was going to need it, and we need it too. Paul was an ambassador. We need to pray for others as they have opportunities in this way, like Paul asked us to. So this whole idea of prayer and our need to be persevering in it, and to pray for others specifically for their gospel opportunities. Finally, this last part of the chapter here, as we finish the letter up, be encouraged by faithful, loving servants of God. First, we're going to see in verse 21, faithful servants are encouraging to the church. Verse 21, that ye may also know my affairs and how I do, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known to you all things. Now, if you remember most of Paul's letters, he takes some time to spell out some of his concerns and mention people by names. In the last few verses, he says, I need you to do this for me, and he addresses this issue with folks. But in this letter, all of that is put off. And Paul says, there's a lot of things that I could let you know about how I'm doing, church at Ephesus, but rather than my put it in this letter, I've had other focuses, so I'm sending Tychicus my faithful servant, to tell you those things so that I have more room in this letter for these other things. And he's going to then go to them and tell them while Paul's doing and give them that information. And also from what we find in the book of Colossians is that most likely at the same time, this was melded with a mission for him not only to go to Ephesus, but then beyond to the city of Colossae and pass off Paul's letter to the Colossian church at that point as well. So this man had an important ministry for Paul to do. He's first mentioned in the book of Acts. And let's just go ahead and turn there real briefly. It won't take long. Acts 20. So you have a little bit of background on who this man is. This refers to immediately after Paul's ministry in Ephesus, where he had to depart because of the stirring up that went on because of his successful ministry there. Chapter 20, verse 1. After the uproar was ceased, Paul called unto him the disciples and embraced them and departed for to go into Macedonia. He's going to continue on his third missionary journey away from Ephesus. And when he had gone over those parts and had given them much exhortation, he came into Greece. And there about 3 months, abode 3 months. And when the Jews laid wait for him as he was about to sail into Syria, he proposed to return through Macedonia. And here we go. There accompanied him into Asia, Sopater of Berea, and of the Thessalonians, Aristarchus and Secundus, and Gaius of Derbe, and Timotheus, and of Asia, there we have our guy, Tychicus and Trophimus. They were from Asia, interestingly. These going before tarried for us at Troas. And from this point on, this man would be a faithful servant and fellow laborer with Paul. And he's now going to bring, along with this letter, to the Ephesian church and the Colossae church, news about Paul, but also he's going to be used to encourage their hearts. You know what's going to happen and what he's going to do? He's going to be involved in a discipleship ministry, rather like what we've been talking about in Sunday school and in the evening service. Paul is sending this man to do that, to disciple these people, not just to give them a bunch of news about Paul, but Paul is really giving up this man that has given him so much help and sacrificing not having that help so that other people can be discipled. Again, Paul's heart here is to encourage faithful servants in the church, and he sends them the men that they need to be encouraged. So faithful servants that are encouraging the church, but then loving servants are equipped for ministry. And now Paul gives one more prayer here as an emphasis on prayer, these last two words. Look what Paul prays for. Peace be to the brethren. What is that peace? We've mentioned it many times before. Paul has mentioned in Ephesians 2 that Christ himself is our peace, that when we have a relationship with Jesus Christ, we have that peace, which is that sense of well-being, spiritual, physical well-being that the Jewish community understood. And Paul is saying that's only through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so for all of you in Ephesus, that our believers, peace be to you. I am praying for you to have that peace. And that peace also is given through the gospel that he mentioned in the armor, that they would go forth and proclaim that peace to others. So he prays for peace for them. And then love. Love is that agape love, God's love, that again, remember, Paul prayed in chapter 3 that they would have a deeper experience of, that they would understand more deeply and more significantly the love Jesus had for them. And so Paul is praying here as he ends the letter that they would continue to experience that love and know that love of Christ and then give that love to the world and to the brethren. But also that love with faith. And faith here is a strengthened faith to stand strong again against what? The devil's schemes, like he just mentioned a little bit ago. We need that confidence and that strong faith to be able to withstand the attacks of Satan and be able to minister appropriately. We have to have that confidence that we have in God's word and in what he's doing in our lives. And guess what? All three of those things come from our relationship with the Father and Jesus Christ. He says, from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you have that relationship, you have peace. You have love. You have strong, you can have strong faith. There's no excuse. We need to pray for these things for each other, specifically by name. Wouldn't it be wonderful to know that somebody's praying for you specifically? I pray that so-and-so would specifically have peace this week, and that she would know the love of Christ, and that he would be strengthened in his faith. I pray for that individual this week. That would be a really good prayer, wouldn't it? And then finally, grace be with all of them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Now, this is an interesting verse. If you read this, and of course, it's the last verse in the whole book. But doesn't it sound like this, if you're not careful, that it sounds like grace be with all of those that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. In other words, this is a different category of love. And for those that have learned to love God sincerely and more purely, then they get grace. It's kind of what that sounds like. Well, it could be translated in a multiple different ways, and there's different interpretations of this. This is what I think is going on here. I think Paul means this. Grace with immortality or eternally be with those who love our Lord. I think what Paul's communicating here, this is best seen as describing the eternal access to God's grace that those who love him have. Rather than grace conditional to a certain sincerity level of love, God's not saying, Paul's not saying, if you get to this level of love for Christ, then you get grace. No, grace is promised eternally to all of us who love the Lord Jesus. That's even more encouraging, isn't it? On your worst day as a believer, God will still give you grace to keep on going, and that grace will be available in unmeasurable quantities through all eternity. That is a promise to end a letter on that we can all benefit from. So I have a quote here from an old scholar that you may recognize, Martin Lloyd-Jones, classic author. He says this about prayer. Prayer is a sovereign remedy for the many ills and disease of the soul that tend to defeat us all. It is the sovereign remedy for introspection, for morbidity and a morbid self-concern. Self is the last enemy, and this is a total focus on self rather than seeing the needs of others. It is self that causes most of our troubles. We are thinking of ourselves and what is going to happen to us, what the effect of something will be upon us. We turn in upon ourselves and pity ourselves and are sorry for ourselves and spend our time commiserating with ourselves. One of the best ways to getting rid of such a condition is to pray for other people. Lift up your heads, be alert, right? Look away from yourself, realize the whole spiritual position, and as you do, you will forget yourself. You will pray for others, and then you can pray the way that Paul prays here. And you know what? God will also put it upon other people's hearts to also pray for you in that way. When we have that healthy sense of prayer as a spiritual community, empowered by the Holy Spirit, God will work these things in our hearts. Do you need more peace, more love, more faith? Do you feel like you need, God, I need more grace than ever now before to get through my day? Pray for that for others. Pray for it for yourself. And let's continue to go forward no matter what we face, even the rest of this year, with the power of prayer, firmly dressed in the armor of God to have effective ministry. Lord, thank you for this reminder. What a need we have, how vital prayer is, and how shallow, how little we depend on it. Help us to be reminded again today, even in this prayer, that there's so much to pray for, that we need to pray for our own spiritual needs, but also the spiritual needs of others as well. And as a church, we need to have time praying for each other. And that, Lord, we know can look different. It can look, there's a lot of ways we can accomplish that, but Lord, we can't just say, I don't have time for that. Help us to be a praying church that prays together, that knows that we're praying for each other, for peace, for love, for faith, for grace, and all of these things, that we will be built up and have effective ministry until Jesus returns, and be encouraged in each other in that way. Lord, convict us and help us as we move forward to be able to accomplish this through the power of the Spirit. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray this. Amen.